Caltech invented the concealed carry category years ago with the P11, but did they stop there? Heck no. One innovation just led to another and another, and, well, just look at their latest, the P15. It's the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market at only 14 ounces and 7/8 inches wide. The P15 has a 4-inch barrel and double-stack magazine that holds 15+1 total capacity. Its gator grip texture on the polymer version increases stability and makes for ambidextrous grip safety and easy, accurate handling. If you prefer a more vintage look, choose the metal version with classic wood panels and textured grips. The P15 has a Tritium Plus fiber optic front sight with a fully adjustable Tritium 2-dot rear to keep you on target in any situation. Make the P15 your choice for concealed carry. Learn more at KeltechWeapons.com. Sign up for the Keltech Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories at KeltechWeapons.com. That's KeltechWeapons.com.
We have their bank records. We already had text messages, emails, and photographs that showed Joe Biden was familiar with these people. And now we have sworn testimony from Devin Archer that they were marketing Joe Biden. And that's what they were doing to receive the money. They were selling the brand, and the brand was Joe Biden. And what they were selling was influence with our federal government. That stinks. The fact that our president of the United States wants to continue to play dumb and his friends in the corporate media go along with him, it's pretty sad. But I don't think the average American who's keeping up with this believes for a second that Joe Biden didn't have a greater amount of knowledge of what his family was doing. And we now know he communicated with all of these people who sent his family millions and millions of dollars. Mm.
That's James Comer. It's getting good. Yeah. It's getting real good. Welcome to the show. Happy Friday. I shouldn't say it like that, though. No, I mean, not like Happy Friday, like Happy Friday. Hey. But I mean, I don't mean to say like it's getting good. Like I look at this like it's theater, or I don't give it the seriousness that it deserves. I don't mean to imply that. What I mean is that finally, right? Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this first hour on Friday. Now, they are rolling towards the impeachment inquiry. And I told you in a piece that I wrote this week over at Chapter and Verse, the newsletter on Substack, I had told you that, and specifically I was looking at McConnell, that you have to have a good cop, bad cop kind of thing here. And the reason I say that is because you have to have that appearance. And yes, you have to actually care about, you know, the upholding the rule of law, but you have to have that appearance of the party that cares about the rule of law, legitimately cares about the rule of law, and is going to overturn like every stone out there to make sure that they find absolutely everything. Because honestly, okay, did you guys see the photos today? Let me just stop myself. Like, so there's photos that came out today. What, a photo? I shouldn't say photos. There's a photo that came out today showing, you know, the Bidens right there at, I think this was air, this one was Air Force Two. On Air Force Two, on their way to Ukraine. Remember that whole situation? I mean, they were, it's a pretty damning photo. He's with a Hunter-linked aide, and I think they were intimating that Hunter himself was supposed to be on this flight. And they were flying to Ukraine to demand that prosecutors drop this Burisma investigation. And this image, it's with Amos Hochstein, and that's the it was the president's special presidential coordinator. And that is the time that Biden was threatening to hold $1 billion in U.S. aid if they didn't fire their top prosecutor, Victor Shokin. Oh, my gosh, guys, why did they? I know I've asked this before. Why did they start the impeachment process of Trump? Remind everybody.
Over a phone call about that whole situation.
Because they were accusing Trump of what?
Oh, I get. I don't
withholding
know.
Aid.
Yeah, it would be the aid situation, and I think deep down they were scared what he would discover.
Now, remember what the Democrats' argument was. Their argument was that, here you have Donald Trump who wants to politicize aid to Ukraine and threaten Ukraine with the withholding of their aid if they don't investigate Hunter Biden's position at Burisma and the association that these executives and these other oligarchs had with the Biden family. But the thing is that he never said he was going to withhold aid. I mean, we looked at the transcript of the phone call, even the, and that you even had Ukrainian officials come out and say, that's not accurate. The former Ukrainian president was like, that's not accurate at all. And in fact, aid was given. So it renders that whole argument moot, but the press didn't acknowledge that they actually delivered aid. They didn't acknowledge any of that. And that's what they did. So they had sent aid over. They did all of this, but that's why they started this whole thing. And was they were pushing this impeachment inquiry based on that. Now think of it. They had no evidence. They didn't hold an inquiry or the investigation, rather. Because remember, the House investigates. They handle that whole process. The Senate conducts the trial. They didn't go through. Do you remember the big, there wasn't a big inquiry process from the House with Trump, was there? No. They didn't have nothing. They just rushed it through. So when we're discussing the whole good cop, bad cop situation, I think it's smart. I think it's the smartest play you could do is have some Republicans say, oh my gosh, torches and pitchforks, let's impeach this blanker now, let's go. And then you need to have those who are tapping the brakes to say, well, let's finish this process and hold the inquiry. Because they have to simultaneously do two things. Not only do they have to show an adherence to the rule of law, which we have not seen in how long as citizens. That's one of the reasons why we're losing faith in these institutions that help administrate the republic. But you also have to see the zeal for it, because the base, and not even just the base, a lot of our average everyday Americans that you wouldn't necessarily think are the base are fed the hell up. They see a two-tier system of justice. Like, what gets me? Like, I had the Revenue Service ask me, well, how did you figure out the percentage on your the interest on your mortgage? Oh, we're going to investigate that. We're going to look into that. Oh yeah, that happened. And it was because a law had passed. Like, there was a law, this law that had passed like within a couple of weeks. And so we corrected it. Not like the last time that we actually had to fight with them to get money back that we had paid more into. Oh my gosh, y'all know you pay your fair share and everybody else's too. They had sent a letter immediately on that. The damn Biden family gets $20 million from foreign entities. They don't pay any taxes on it and not a damn peep from the IRS. Oh my gosh, you know what? I am grateful to my Lord and Savior that I do not have more middle fingers than I can manage right now. Oh, this is what I'm talking about. Average everyday people. Like, I had a family member who had messaged me earlier this week saying, and you know how I always joke about lawnmowers and that? They go, well, I wanted to sell this lawnmower and a leaf blower and a couple of other things because I'm getting new things. And I'm actually nervous about, I don't know if I want to sell it on, using any kind of online system, because I don't want, what if I, don't, I got to claim it? What is the IRS going to do to me? I mean, you got average everyday people worrying about this stuff, but yet the Bidens can do all, literally make in over $20 million and they don't have to pay any taxes. They don't cite it. There's no disclosure, nothing. This is what I'm talking about. So when you have this process, you have to have the party leadership demonstrate zeal and also a devotion to adherence of law. You got to have both. Democrats, all they had was zeal and no facts. We got facts, zeal, and we got people who know how to shepherd it through the system. So that's a powerful thing. But I don't know how you can argue that Biden was not using $1 billion in aid and holding that over Ukraine for Viktor Shokin. I don't know how you can argue that didn't happen. Now, a few other things that we're going to get into, because we're going to come back to this. There's a lot more that's coming up. We're going to talk about Bidenomics. We're going to talk. Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, that's what, $40 billion. Now he's seeking $40 billion for Ukraine. Additional money for Ukraine. For what?
Money laundering.
Yeah, exactly. Money laundering. I mean, I don't know what else, you know, you would, I'm not quite sure like what else you would have. Why? He's asked for more. Get this. This is going to make you mad. Do I want to tell you this, but this early in the afternoon or late in the afternoon rather? Biden asks for more money for Ukraine than he has for American disaster relief. So the ask came yesterday. They want $13 billion in emergency defense aid to Ukraine, an additional $8 billion for humanitarian support for the end of the year. They want another massive infusion of cash. This is from a couple sources, Reuters, AP, and The Hill. And they said that they were trying to figure out how to draw via CNN some kind of Republican support. How are they gonna draw some kind of Republican support? I don't know. But when you look at the aid that we have spent for disaster relief for Americans, that's not at all in anywhere. I mean, when you look at the storms and you look at the southern border of Mexico and the flow of fentanyl and everything else, I'm kind of curious. I'm wondering if we're, for instance, we're going to have as much aid for Hawaii as he has the billions and billions. How many billions, Kane, have they sent over to Ukraine?
It's north of 200 at this point.
Because as of right now, I know that they are drawing up plans as we speak for how the federal government is going to respond to this, because I mean, it's, you still got wildfires and there's 1,000 people missing, I think 36 fatalities. I'm just wondering, is that, I mean, we have our own humanitarian disasters here. We're going to talk more about this. Speaking of Hawaii, it's heartbreaking to see this. The locals, I don't know if you've seen all of the video. For those people who can get cell phone service, there's video of people being swept out to sea because they're trying to flee the flames. The communications, according to the governor of Hawaii, with the western part of Maui are down. Emergency services are only able to communicate using satellite phones. They said that 1,000 people are missing. They're not, well, the way that they're putting it is that they are out of contact with 1,000 people. They are missing, and they're very careful with their wording because I'm obviously, you don't want to freak out families, but they're saying that they cannot make contact with these people. And yesterday the fatalities were 36. Today they're at 53. As of this morning, the fatality toll is 53. And just awful. Biden's on his way to the beach in Delaware, by the way. Another vacation. I'm not kidding you. I'm not even remotely joking. He's literally on his way to Delaware. I think has he called a lid already? I don't even know. He may have already called the lid. But yeah, he's already on his way. I don't know if he made a statement a couple of hours ago before he left about Maui, and then that was kind of the end of it. But I was looking at the presidential schedule here. He's out at this evening. He is out. So he has nothing on his schedule after now. That's it. Guess they got to pack. You know, it's difficult to pack for beach weather. So coming up, we've really incentivized more Iranian kidnappings. We're going to talk about this. We got a lot of other stuff to get into as well that you do not want to miss. Everything, all the latest with Maui, the latest with Ukraine, the latest with this process towards inquiry, all of it.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
With crime and drug addiction continuing to skyrocket, the U.S. has the highest rate of single-parent households in the world. LBJ's Great Society resulted in a reliance on social welfare programs and destruction in the family unit. Is there a direct correlation? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Gosh, as we were talking about the fatalities in the Hawaii wildfire, yesterday it was 36. The latest update I saw was 53 at this point. Just horrible. And as we were just saying, the governor there of Hawaii was saying that most of, a big chunk of Maui just doesn't have communications. Their emergency services are having to rely on satellite phones. Also, Hawaiians were asking about their billionaire residents, Jeff Bezos. Oprah Winfrey, Mark Zuckerberg. Oprah Winfrey was pictured going and buying a bunch of stuff at Costco and Walmart, and she apparently has been going to some of the shelters. She owns 2,000 acres of land on Maui. It's actually, you got to go through a process to purchase land there. She has been going through some of these shelters, handing out clothing, et cetera, any kind of, she asked what they needed. I thought it's really cool that Floyd Mayweather has been paying for tons of flights for survivors, tons of hotel rooms. He has been, I guess they partnered with H&M to get tons of clothes sent over there for everybody who lost, you know, their livelihoods and everything they had. And he's apparently also been working with a number of different restaurants and caterers and all this stuff to get food out to all of these survivors and make sure that everybody's fed, everybody's clothed. That is so cool because you wouldn't know it unless some of the rescue people involved in the rescue efforts hadn't been saying it, because Floyd Mayweather hadn't been out there talking about it. I think that's really cool that he's doing all of that and operating, you know, very, very Book of Matthew. Also, using certain acid reflux drugs have been linked to a higher dementia risk. A lot of people use this stuff. They had the American Academy of Neurology found that individuals who consumed, they're called PPIs, proton pump inhibitors, for over 4.5 years, saw their likelihood of developing the serious cognitive condition increase significantly. And so I guess it has to have that PPI. It has to be a specific type. They said 18 to 20% of the U.S. population, they deal with the gastroesophageal reflux disease. And so these are the people obviously most affected. But they said the proton pump inhibitors are useful to help control acid reflux. However, long-term use has been linked in a number of previous studies to bone fractures, higher risk of stroke, kidney disease, all kinds of stuff. So that's a golly, because they're really widely taken as well. NASA asteroid strike unleashes a boulder storm. This is kind of crazy. They said it could be pretty deadly. Is this SMOD? It's storm of boulders as deadly as Hiroshima accidentally unleashed by NASA during tests to change the trajectory of an asteroid. Ooh, stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
I'm here today to announce the appointment of David Weiss as a special counsel, consistent with the Department of Justice regulations governing such matters.
Talk about putting out the fire with gasoline. Golly. Merrick Garland, just now. Wait until you guys hear this. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you. Just now, he announced, and I saw this first from Shannon Bream. He's announced that U.S. Attorney Weiss, who is already investigating the Hunter Biden case, is named as the special counsel. This is where you don't find any daylight with Republicans. Because you see, sometimes you'll get some Republicans out there that are like, oh, well, I like this guy, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody likes this guy. This is the guy that the whistleblowers accused of obstruction. There's not any daylight between the most hardcore street grassroots activists and National Review. That's how bad this guy is. Weiss's team, literally as Garland was announcing that Weiss has been chosen as special counsel, which just separately, that is such a delayed decision. It's crazy that it took that long. Weiss's team filed court papers saying that talks with Hunter Biden had reached an impasse. This is from Politico just 2 minutes ago. And that the case is likely headed to trial in a different jurisdiction, either California or D.C. So he made Weiss special counsel. Weiss is the guy who will write the report on this. He's the guy who has been investigating this whole time anyway. The slow walked investigation. Whistleblowers were saying that he was obstructing, that he was not bringing charges in other districts like California. And so he would not cooperate. Like when he sent a letter to Jim Jordan, and he immediately started off saying he's not going to cooperate with Jim Jordan's investigation, etc. And when Weiss was delayed, his response to what these whistleblowers had said was that, oh, well, it's the prosecutors. Because you had Gary Shapley. He's the IRS whistleblower who gave the testimony. He was in front of House Ways and Means. And he was the one who said that you had multiple requests by Weiss to DOJ for special counsel authority. This is the other thing. He was slow walking, and the DOJ also was not cooperating. Because Shapley was saying that it was the Biden-appointed U.S. attorney for D.C., Matthew Graves, that refused to allow Weiss to bring charges against Biden in the jurisdiction. But then you had a ton of requests by Weiss. He wanted to have special counsel authority, and that some of that was denied. But then he's also accused of slow walking it. So Weiss was saying that prosecutors wouldn't allow something to go forward without whether it was a search warrant or whether there were charges. He's the prosecutor. Here's the question. How much was he slow walking, and how much was the DOJ slow walking? Because this is a disaster. This is a horrible choice. Shapley was saying that Weiss, that he had been, like, apparently there was like a tug of war, I guess, over authority, etc. They had that letter that he sent where he was like, I'm not going to give you more information on this investigation or how it's pursued or not pursued. That's one of the things that he sent to Jim Jordan. And Weiss had told, and if you remember Shapley, he was the special agent there with the IRS. He had told Shapley that he wasn't the one, don't blame him, he's not the guy who's in charge of making these decisions about Hunter Biden. Don't blame him. It's like everybody wants to immediately pass the buck with us. They do. It's like they all want to pass the buck. This is just good heavens. So this, it is one of the worst. It's the pick that you pick if you want to make yourself look as suspicious as possible. Garland said that Weiss asked him on Tuesday to be appointed as the special counsel, citing the need to continue investigating. So the same guy who had worked on the blanket immunity deal, after that deal fell apart, the same guy wants to continue investigating it. Do I understand that correctly?
Yep.
You're kidding me.
Wish I was.
This is a joke. Oh, well, the guy, guess can't get that special, that blanket immunity on everything. So, oh my goodness. I still have to continue investigating it. So he's the special counsel involved. He was asked. Here's the thing. What changed? He had asked previously to be special counsel, and he was denied before. What changed? For real, what changed? That's per his own response to the whistleblower allegations that I just was reading with you, the letter that he sent to Jim Jordan. So if he had requested previously to be special counsel. Why was he denied then and now it's okay? I mean, my first reaction is it's because the blanket immunity fell apart and they're going to nail Hunter Biden unless somebody intervenes at a more intimate level. That's how I'm looking at it. I mean, that's, wow. There is any kind of accountability. So there, you have, I think, Comer, you have Jim Jordan. The House Oversight's been doing such a great job at piecing all of this together, messaging the developments and what's been recently discovered to the public. And as we are learning a fuller picture and getting a lot of the backstories to what happened, the guy that came along that was involved in the special offer for blanket immunity wants them to not investigate anymore because he wants to investigate. This is not a good development. Not at all. Because this, I don't see anything at all from this past investigation, from any of Weiss's work that speaks to any kind of impartiality. I mean, they're trying to protect Hunter Biden. This is literally the exact same. David Weiss is the same guy who offered Hunter Biden the blanket immunity deal. He is the same guy who was whittling down his felonies to misdemeanors. It was his exact offer. This is the same guy. There is no question about it. I mean, I've got a million questions. A million questions with this. So keep a lookout for Jim Jordan and James Comer's response for sure. Because, whoo boy, this is the fix is in, as they would say. That's exactly what this is. I think it got too hot. I think the investigation was getting too hot, and ultimately, that's what they're trying to do with us. It was getting too hot. There was too much information. It was getting too close. They were piecing it together too well, so they had to do something. I mean, again, I can't say this enough. This is the same guy that offered the sweetheart deal. This is the same guy. You know, so two of the tax evasion charges that he had that were major felonies that they downgraded them to misdemeanors. Same dude. Yeah, sorry. Came the secret blanket immunity deal that they were trying to hide. What gets me is that, so I'm going to pull this piece. Jennifer Van Laar reminds me of this. So remember, he had said previously, Weiss had said, oh, no, I want to be special counsel. I want to be have special counsel authority. He is, towards the end of July, he was trying to rewrite the history on that. And claim, oh, no, I never said that. So who's telling the truth? You can't trust any of these people. I sure as hell don't trust the guy that was offering the blanket immunity, the secret blanket immunity to Hunter Biden. See, this is what I'm talking about. Average, everyday American people are done with us. So the special counsel is going to be able, just thinking here, any jurisdiction that they want to investigate, they'll be able to do so. And then the AG has said that they'll make it public if possible. The one thing that I wonder, though, is I don't think that there's going to any. I think any kind of reconstitution of a plea deal is gone. Any chance at that? Do you get that sense too?
Yeah.
I feel like since it fell apart with now that he's special counsel, I feel like that's done. It should be, yeah. But what's their play here?
I think they'll slow walk this until all the statutes of limitations runs out on any potential crime.
That's a good, that's because that's the thing that Andy McCarthy was telling everyone to to ask. I just flashback to IRS whistleblower Gary Shapley. He said the DOJ was allowing the president's political appointees to weigh in on whether or not to even charge Hunter Biden in the first place. So this is pretty extraordinary. I mean, man, if your last name is Biden or Baldwin, hell, you can get away with drugs and murder. Who knows? Good heavens. So this, it sounds like they're gonna can this. Is what it is. There are. That's what it sounds like to me. That's what it sounds like to me. I'm so done. You have a judge in one case, in the DC case with Trump, who's Hunter Biden's former colleague, and now you got this. So if you're just joining, it just literally came out that they Merrick Garland announced the special counsel, for which he should have done forever ago. But it's David Weiss, the guy who literally offered Hunter Biden the blanket immunity, the secret blanket immunity plea deal. The guy who reduced two of his felony charges to misdemeanors and has been slow walking and obstructing this whole time. That's who they literally just announced as the special counsel. So we're gonna cover this and bring you some of the latest. I am waiting for the fire response of anyone on House Oversight. That's what I'm waiting for their response, because it's gonna be straight pure fire. So we're gonna follow this and continue with any developments. And also, we got some law and order to hit. We have some culture to hit. ACLU is now setting its sights on a school district in the suburbs of Dallas, Texas, over their bathroom policies. We're going to discuss that as well, because it's down the, Kane, that's in your hood, down the road. We're going to get into all of that and more.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
In particular, I want to thank Senator John Tester, the chair of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, and Representative Tucano, as well, the ranking member of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, for the leadership.
Can he not fight with the teleprompter at any point?
You can't help it.
Man alive. Welcome back to the program. Yeah, it says, don't you make fun of his stutter, though, you racist jerks. Wait, what? I don't know. No, for real. That's like actually, let me pull this up. That's actually something that one of, who was it that said this? Let me find this out. They were mad. How dare you? How dare you mock baby Joe Biden? Wait, what? They were saying that people were making fun of his stutter, his inability to actually finish a thought and read something off the teleprompter, that you're making fun of his stutter. That's what that is. That has nothing to do with the stutter. That's a brain fart. They're two totally different things. But he has a lot of them because, you know, he's like 90,000 years old. That's it. Golly. Just wild. We're still trying to wrap our heads around the whole new special counsel thing. We're gonna discuss that here a little bit coming up. And also, wait, we're gonna talk about how in the world we're supposed to cover the debate, because I have a piece that's coming out this evening that gets in. We talked a little bit about this yesterday because it came out yesterday, and I don't know how we're actually going to cover the debate, because we can't really play anything from it. It is as, it's almost as restrictive as the Uber say Olbe. Can we even say that? Yeah, you can't even talk about that one football game. They actually have broadcasting law about that. Like, there's a whole thing. Isn't that correct, Kane?
Yes, that is true.
Like, you can't say Uber say Olbe.
Yeah, it's a copyright thing just like this one. And you can't use
the name.
Well,
is it though?
Super
because
Bowl?
They're acting like this is MLB or NFL, and it's not. It's public interest.
Yeah, they're acting like this is a copyright. This is a copyright. I mean,
that's so goofy.
I have to assume.
But then they're also like sending out like press teasers and asking if you know, you want to interview their anchors and debate moderators on your radio programs and simulcast to help promote the debate that you can't cover. I'm not joking. So how does that work? We're trying to figure this out. We're going to talk a little bit more about this because I just think this is such a bad move. This has never happened before in a debate. We have never had anything like this ever before in a debate. The rules are like so strict to cover it. And I think you can only write about it if you embed their notoriously glitchy video player, which is, again, notoriously glitchy. That is a nightmare to embed if you're writing something. That's it. And then it can't live 7 days digitally. Do you know how many people who are in commentary who, we archive the live program into podcasts, and then we have the simulcast, which lives on YouTube. So we would get, takedown notices galore. And it wouldn't be the first time that that network has tried to ding somebody. Not kidding. Stick with us. We got a lot more on the way.
When will the president actually answer some of these questions to put some of this to rest himself?
Oh, my goodness, Martha. I mean, he just did with Peter. I mean, he's the one who called Peter over and had Peter, risk life and limb cutting across that barrier.
Oh, and that's it. That's all we can show you. We can't show you any more than that because, what the debate coverage is probably going to kind of look like. I mean, that was a good discussion. And for the interest of fair use in news, I'd like to discuss it more because, it is public interest. It's not Major League Baseball or the NFL, but that was John Kirby who was, saying that, they were talking about Iran. And John Kirby was saying he's kind of like Biden's Charlie Day, like allowing Iran to access $6 billion in frozen accounts. That's not negotiating with terrorists. Welcome back to the program. That's from the Omnivorous Mammal Network. That's all we can say because we don't want to get in trouble. Just a foreshadowing of what the debate's going to be like. Dana Loesch here with you. You're adorable, lovable curmudgeon. Just all about, I'm all about sugar and kittens and sunshine. Yay. It's all poisoned. Anyway, so welcome back. Top of the second hour. Yeah, so we just done. So while Maui is literally on fire, yeah, we're going to go ahead and allow Iran to access $6 billion in frozen accounts. Oh, and by the way, we're going to dump $40 billion more over on Ukraine. Meanwhile, people are literally like being washed out to sea because they're trying to flee fire. Heaven on earth. But yes, that was the, the Omnivorous Mammal Network. They had that discussion there. It's true. OM. I like that. It's the OM network. I think it works. It works. We're rolling with it. So the lot of stuff happening. Just and of course, Kane, they announced this thing on a Friday. Yep. Of course they did. They announced it on a Friday. The special counsel. So in case you missed it last hour, because, you have to work to, take care of the socialists that don't. So if you missed it, Merrick Garland decided to appoint as special counsel or the special prosecutor for this, David Weiss, the actual literal attorney that has been slow walking this Hunter Biden investigation the entire time. The guy who orchestrated the secret blanket immunity deal, the sweetheart deal for Hunter Biden. Yeah. So I'm just anticipating they're going to try to run this past statute of limitations for everything. Because as we were talking about, remember, if you go on our YouTube page, and I sent this out when it happened, it was a separate post for the subscribers on Chapter and Verse over at Substack. I thought Andy McCarthy was very insightful because he was saying that that was his guess. And I feel like with all of these moves that we've seen since this time, that's what it seems to all indicate. They are wanting to totally run this past statute of limitations. And he was saying that two of them, and I think it had to do with the China money that they didn't claim, that is past statute of limitations. And there was another charge that was coming up in October. That statute would expire in October, or it would hit that limitation rather in October. This is the guy that was accused of slow walking it. The guy who made the deal. Now, Andy McCarthy he was questioning whether or not the special counsel can even be part of the DOJ to investigate. And I've seen this, a lawyer friend of mine also actually raised this question in a message, saying that because it's not his particular area of law, but he was saying that he thinks that there's a likelihood that it could be such, because you can't have that person who's the special counsel also operating as like an actual member of the DOJ. So I don't know. Now, James Comer just came out with a statement and pulled this up right now. He says this move by AG Garland is part of the Justice Department's effort to attempt a Biden family cover up in light of GOP oversight's mounting evidence of President Biden's role in his family schemes, selling the brand for millions of dollars to foreign nationals. So this is just now up as well. And as I get all this stuff, we'll make sure that we share this with you. And we're also going to give you a rundown. We'll give you a rundown on chapter and verse. Oh, and as Lorraine notes, and she has a piece that we're going to actually, this was going to be the piece I was leading to in my second hour, and then this pushed it all back. And you can see her in the YouTube discussion. She moderates that. It's the gun charge, Kane. That's the charge that expires in October.
Oh, that's right.
The falsification of a 4473. Yeah. That's what expires in October. So they're going to try to push that out as much as possible. Ooh, try not to have a fit. This is what Kane's over. What go? What?
It's so obvious.
Yeah.
What they're doing here. Like, where's our media that's supposed to be the watchdog for the people?
Oh, they've got their noses in the butts of the Bidens. Yeah. That's how that's working. That's what that's all about. It is really shocking. Really shocking. Yeah, so it's the gun charge that expires. So he's special counsel David Weiss, the guy who was accused of slow walking by the IRS whistleblowers, and who also hasn't even been clear about his own involvement in terms of, because he, at first he said that he was, had wanted to be special counsel, and then he tried to rewrite history and say that never happened. And there's a lot, this is something else. So we're gonna continue covering this, but I think the plea deal, one of the things I had said last hour, this plea deal's dead. Is this what, plan B or C? Because it sounds like,
probably C at this point.
Yeah, it sounds like this was sort of maybe the fallback if that didn't work. And in this, the thing though, like right now, because see, this is what I also don't get, because they were going back and forth, weren't they? Didn't the DOJ and Weiss's office, or in Garland surrogates, didn't they go back and forth saying, no, Weiss has the authority to charge crimes. He's got this. He's got all of that. And then he was saying that he didn't. Wasn't this, they've had so much double talk in all of this, it's almost difficult to follow it. But long story short, this is, yeah, I don't know. I also feel, because it says Weiss is going to be responsible for the ongoing investigation, blah, 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 any other matters that arise. I'm looking at a new piece that just came out on this. And the Weiss is based in Delaware. They agreed it was in public interest, et cetera, et cetera. But the whistleblowers were the ones who contradicted Weiss's full authority to prosecute, all the excuses surrounding that. And so, could you see the plea deal return to court? Could that come back? I mean, if he has ultimate authority, I don't know.
The secret one?
There's a lot of questions. Andy McCarthy, in his piece, let me pull this up, because he has his, forgive me, because this is all happening right now, and we're all seeing this right as you all are. Andy McCarthy wrote he's got a quick write-up. He asks that, he has to assume, he writes, that the AG is finally about to do what the DOJ regs called for him to do the moment he was confirmed 2.5 years ago, appoint a special counsel. Because it's true, this is so long coming. So McCarthy asks first, is the appointee a former prosecutor from outside the government, as the regulations require, who has a reputation for nonpartisan scrupulousness and rigor in enforcing the law? And he goes, second, he asks, is the appointee a new broom that sweeps clean? And I think that's, I like that, the way he puts that. He says, they have a clean record. He's like, is the special counsel going to bring a new staff to take a fresh look at this Biden, you know, scandal, or will they just be a figurehead who creates the illusion of detachment and actually retains the same Biden DOJ lawyers? He says, as I noted earlier this week, the Mar-a-Lago document case is still being run by Jay Bratt, the same Biden Justice Department official who investigated it prior to special counsel appointment of Jack Smith. He says, third, will the special counsel be given a sweeping mandate to investigate and prosecute any and all crimes uncovered in the inquiry into the Biden family influence peddling business? Like how Garland gave Jack Smith a big old sweeping mandate to investigate everything. Or, he says, is Garland going to draw a narrow, is he going to have limitations and limit them to just tax and gun crimes? That's a good question, because we don't know that. So, man, what a Friday already.
Remember how we talked about, oh, is Joe Biden going to pardon his son? Is he going to pardon Hunter? Remember we were talking all those questions last week or week before? This is how Joe Biden will never need.
Now you know why he's already, exactly. Why he's heading to the beach in Delaware.
Exactly.
Now you know why Biden checked out and was like, oh, I'm out. I got to go to the beach. So this, I mean, they should have really done this like 2.5 years ago. And it sounds like this is about to delay any kind of delay resolution on the case. That's what it seems like. Because, and it also seems like they don't want Weiss, because I'm wondering now, and this is a question that House Oversight or McCarthy or Turley could answer, whether or not this move also prevents Weiss from having to go before House Oversight and answer questions about the investigation. I didn't think about that. That's the other thing I just thought of. So, and Jim Jordan made a good point. He goes, first, David Weiss said he didn't have the power that he needed and wanted special counsel status. Then he said he had all the power he needs. Now he gets special counsel status because he didn't really have the power he needs. Something's not right. That is exactly right. Whoo boy. So yeah, now it makes sense why Biden's taking another day of vacation. By the way, he spent over 40% of his entire term as president on vacation. The newest figures that are coming in.
And we're only 2 years and 7 months into it.
Mm-hmm. So this is what we have on deck. We're following this breaking story about David Weiss, who is being named the special counsel in all of the very legitimate. Oh, boy. And this is coming in here, too. Let me pull this up. Forgive me, because this is all coming in at the same time. So federal prosecutors are now moving to dismiss the Hunter Biden tax charges so they can be filed in another venue. Wow. There we go.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Ooh, a lot of turn into a fun Friday. So the federal court blocked $20 billion in student loan forgiveness. It's an injunction in the latest series of setbacks for the Biden administration's loan forgiveness agenda. It blocked the rules that would have provided, again, this is all that student loan forgiveness stuff, primarily to a number of these different, there's a handful of colleges. The Department of Education has released new proposed rules expanding eligibility for their borrower defense forgiveness program. So something else to keep an eye on. Free everything, right? An Indiana woman fatally shot a man after he held a gun to her husband's head, because guns save lives, innocent lives. Salem, Indiana, Monday. A man drove his car into the couple's yard, threatened the homeowner with a firearm. According to Indiana State Police, the man was saved via bearing arms thanks to quick response from his wife. She saw what was going on outside while she was still in the family's home. The police said that they found Michael Chastain in the front yard with a gunshot wound. He was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. The incident started when he drove into the front yard, grabbed the homeowner, forced him into the ground, and held him at gunpoint with the barrel at the back of his head. The homeowner's wife saw it happen. She came out with her handgun, shot and killed her husband's attacker. And no idea what caused. We have no idea anything about the motive or anything like that. But that's pretty. Whew. I hope that this is not going to be troublesome. I mean, you should be able to, you know, defend your life if need be. Three in Florida die after falling into a cistern. This is, I don't even know if I want to hear read this story. I saw this morning. I've been avoiding it. It's three people, two of them from Florida. It happened in Bastrop County, Texas. They had a hound dog, and they were got a call at 1 a.m. The dog had fallen. They were out hog hunting. A dog ran off, fell into a 4x4 foot hole that turned out to be a cistern. One of the officials said one of the hunters jumped in to save the hound, and then the two others jumped in. And they had taken off their boots and their shoes in that to get in there to save the dog, and they all three died. They all three died. That's just, oh my gosh, it is absolutely heartbreaking. But honestly, I totally would jump in a cistern to save my dog. I'm not even, I just don't even, I just, that's, oh, awful. This U.S. suicides have hit an all-time high last year. And new measures. This is coming from the, I know it's the CDC, but they said something's wrong. The numbers should not be going up. I don't know. Let's think about it. You lock down the country. Then everybody's livelihoods were ruined. Houses are becoming so expensive that newer generations can't even get ownership. What did you think was going to happen? Stick with us. We got all the latest on the David Weiss story, Clarence Thomas, so much more back after this.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
So if you're going to post something that's illegal or against the law, you're gone. Zero tolerance. But more importantly, if you're going to post something that is lawful, but it's awful, you get labeled. You get labeled. You get de-amplified, which means it cannot be shared, and it is certainly demonetized. Back to your direct point about
brand safety.
Brands, yeah. Brand safety.
Mm. So we've been following, and we're going to come back to it, the special counsel selection, that announcement and the hot mess that that is. But that's also, it's also important to talk about what's happening, too, with one of the biggest means of covering and distributing information, which is social media. And that was the, was she like the CEO of, not Twitter, X now?
Yes.
Gosh, it's weird to call it X, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think people are still saying Twitter. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of the second hour. And hoo boy, it has been. So this, she was talking about this, and who determines what is or is not awful or lawful? She's like, lawful, but it's awful. You can get labeled. But then on Audio Soundbite 10, she was asked, and this is Linda Iaccarino, the CEO of X. Well, okay, can you define what healthy content is? And she had a little bit of an issue. Listen.
And that reducing that hateful content from being seen is one of the best examples how X is committed to encouraging healthy behavior online. And today, I can confidently sit in front of you and say that 99.9% of all posted impressions are healthy.
How do you define healthy, though? Is porn healthy? Are conspiracy theories healthy?
You know, it goes back to my point about our success with freedom of speech, not reach.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, I just, that's the social, social media. The CEO of X. So it's important because I think as these, you don't want definitions of what is allowable to be left to the discretion of someone's feels, honestly. You don't. Especially if it's, you know, if it's something that can actually affect you. Like, here's the thing. So we're talking about some 2024 stuff, and apparently Mike Pence weighed in on the appointment of a special prosecutor. We're going to get to that in a minute. Not Pence specifically, but the David Weiss, because I think this is a joke. But we were figuring out how we're going to talk about the primary debate coming up. We were joking a little bit earlier because the Omnivorous Mammal Network is, and I've never had a bad relationship with them, but I just have a lot of questions as to why all of a sudden are these never before seen restrictions on the primary debate. I have a piece coming out about this later on over at Chapter and Verse, Substack, that gets into a little bit of what, you know, it actually means, because there's some issues here, clearly. They came out with some of these restrictions, and basically we're not really going to be able to play anything. And if we do play something, it can only be stuff that is either taped right from their simulcast or that they've provided on their super glitchy video player. And it can only stay, you can only have it, you can only refer to it for like 7 days. I mean, it's not Major League Baseball or NFL. This is a public interest issue, right? And that's why I think that, you know, like with the Superb Owl game, because you can't say the actual name of the game because it's copyright issues. They'll actually come at you. You can't show anything from, you know, the Ooper Say Old Bay. You can't, nothing. And they said that literally they have on here the Omnivorous Mammal Network. They have, quote, under no circumstances may an excerpt of the debate or portions thereof be used beyond the 7 day period. You can't permit. So how are you, what? How are you, this has never happened before with debate coverage. How are you supposed to cover it? How? How do you cover this debate? We're actually going to have a production meeting about this because we have no idea how to actually do our jobs with these restrictions out. And this affects like all these, I don't know why the RNC signed off on this and Rumble. What in the grift hell is this for Rumble to sign up for something like this? This is why I tell you, please do not put any entity or service or anything up on a pedestal. Do not, because you will be disappointed. I think for the RNC, for the GOP to have signed on to this is ridiculous. We reached out to the RNC to get the chairwoman on. Did we hear back? Are they going to like maybe next week or something? Like,
yeah,
what's
I did, the? They're supposed to be sending me a statement in response to my question.
How long does it take them to come up with a statement? Because you asked this yesterday.
Yeah, I did yesterday afternoon. I don't know.
Oh.
I mean, I'll follow up. But my question was there any knowledge of this when this was being set up?
I'm going to tell you, the Republican Party needs voters more than the voters need the Republican Party. And if you're going to make it to where the commentators that you rely on to cover your ass and talk about your policies and talk about your candidates, we can't even actually do it because you sign on with this stupid flex that treats public interest material like it's Major League Baseball stuff. I mean, this is nuts. I mean, we can't, we can't do anything like that. We could get a DMCA notice. It's a takedown notice. And then if they hit you with a takedown notice, you could actually get demonetized on YouTube. Your stuff can get buried on YouTube. It affects how the algorithm views you, everything. Now, some people are saying that you know, the Omnivorous Mammal Network is doing this. They're flexing to restore ratings after taking a hit with Carlson's departure. Some say that they're machinating a counterstrike in the event that Trump decides to skip the debate and hold a rally somewhere at the same time. I don't care. I don't give a rat's backside because it's going to negatively impact my ability to do my job as a broadcaster. And then to get an email from them saying, do you want our anchors on to promote the debate? You mean the debate that I can't cover? Seriously? This also, the bigger thing is that this has the potential to affect coverage of every single debate going forward. So this is really disappointing. And we don't know how we're actually going to cover it. The debate's scheduled for August 23rd. I mean, we won't be able, because that's how we work. Our stuff is on YouTube and then broadcast are archived as podcasts. And this has never happened before. So, I don't know.
I've reached out to Fox to see what the process is to get special permission that clearly they're asking for, I guess. Just so we can properly cover this, like we've covered every other debate since the start of the show.
Yeah. So I'm really disappointed with this, very much so. So I don't know. We'll see. It's incredible. We'll keep you updated. But yeah, I have no idea how that's going to work. We have no clue. So more of the stories come out, this David Weiss, if you haven't been keeping up with it, the special prosecutor, the special counsel, sorry, who was announced. And of course, the White House is not commenting on it. That just came in. They have declined to comment on the Justice Department's decision to appoint David Weiss to serve as the special counsel in the Hunter Biden investigation. Now, if you're curious, we were just talking about this all, like, this story broke right as we were going on air. David Weiss, that's the same special counsel, same guy, who offered Hunter Biden that cushy blanket immunity deal. And he's also the same guy who let these two of the charges, one of which had to do with the tax evasion charge and the stuff with China, two of these charges expire on him, felony charges. He's also he's being accused of slow walking. He's and if you remember David Weiss, the whole situation with the judge that came, this is what, a couple of weeks ago when this happened. And this is when they were trying to do that blanket immunity deal, and they were trying to trick the judge into just pushing this through. And the judge started asking questions. He's the guy who was misleading the judge. David Weiss is also the same attorney who was literally misleading the judge.
And now they're changing the venue.
Yeah. And now, yeah, exactly. Now they want to change the venue. They want to change the venue. They wanted to trick that judge into accepting that blanket immunity plea deal. And he's been running this whole investigation, and I had this too. I think I put this in Slack, but here it is. The prosecutors had moved to dismiss the Biden tax charges so they can be filed in another venue. Isn't that interesting? Now, I think that what I want to know is what changed for David Weiss, because he was saying that he didn't have somehow, what was he saying? He was saying that he didn't have the authority to do this, and then he had the authority to do this, and then I'm very confused. He was saying that he needed the special counsel status because he didn't have the authority that he needed in order to properly investigate this case. And then he's like, oh, wait, no, I got all the power I need. Oh, wait, now I've got special counsel status, as Jim Jordan said, because he didn't really have the power he needs. Something's not right here. I agree. Something is not right. I mean, this is wild. And Kane reminds of this story, Jerry Dunleavy from the Washington Examiner. This was back in June. How Weiss blocked. They said that the new details that had been released, then they were talking about this plea deal, et cetera. And they were saying that David Weiss blocked from bringing Hunter Biden charges in D.C. and California. And Jason Smith, who's of Missouri, our home state, he's on the House Ways and Means Committee. He was saying that Weiss was trying to bring charges in D.C. This was a March of last year and was denied. And that Weiss sought to bring charges in the Central District of California in fall of last year. That request was denied January of this year. He said that Weiss sought special counsel status from the DOJ in spring of 22, but was denied. I think they're all in on it. I don't trust David Weiss at all. I don't care if he said he didn't have authority or he had authority or he didn't have authority. I think it's all a smoke and mirror show. And I don't trust the guy who tried to do this blanket immunity deal. I really don't. And yeah, and Shapley, as we were talking about, he had said that Weiss was claiming that he wasn't the deciding person and whether or not they filed charges in this case. And then Shapley was like, oh, no, I personally overheard him say it.
And he took notes.
Yeah, he took notes. That's what he was saying.
We have audio.
Yeah, listen to this. This was July. This was just like mid last month. Listen.
The Justice Department allowed the president's political appointees to weigh in on whether they charged the president's son. I watched United States Attorney Weiss tell a room full of senior FBI and IRS senior leaders on October 7th, 2022, that he was not the deciding person on whether charges were filed. That was my red line.
They're going to slow walk this. And this is just them trying to really, I think, just obstruct even more. I mean, I don't know how she put it. Nobody trusts this. Nobody trusts this guy. They don't trust Biden. They don't trust this guy. Not happening. So what next? $1 million question. What next? So how is this going to go? Because you have you know, Maui's on fire. And then we have the situation with Iran. Oh, my gosh. This is crazy. We're incentivizing kidnapping of Americans because of this $6 billion deal with Iran. And so that we can, what, they were on house arrest. And that's, and now we're going to let them have access to these frozen assets, Iran. Oh, yeah, and then Cameron reminds, and we're sending $40 billion to Ukraine on top of all the hundreds of billions that we sent to Ukraine. And Biden just gave one statement on Maui, and he's going to be heading to Delaware. He's got to go on vacation again, guys. Come on, why are you so mean? He's an old man. He's got to go on vacation, right? He's only spent over 40% of his term on vacation.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So Autoblog says that police were chasing a Florida man driving on three tires. Cars usually have four at 95 miles per hour. Oh, man, that is a bad looking photo. Ooh, it hurts me. He was drunk as a skunk.
He was
95. And Broward County, Florida, they were pursuing the car at high speed. The vehicle had slipped one of its front tires, and it was on the rim. The rim was in pieces when the car was stopped. They were alerted thanks to a 911 call from another driver, and they finally pulled the car over after a pursuit of about 35 miles. Police said that the 25-year-old driver was, quote, quite intoxicated. Oh, my gosh. If you're watching the simulcast, that's what that... Oh, my gosh. It is torn to shreds. So it was a Sonata. What is that? A Hyundai Sonata? Is that what that is? I don't know. The suspect got out of the car using obscene hand gestures, and he was told a taser might be used, so then he calmed down. So they said the driver, he had his flashers on. He was in and out of traffic. He wasn't identified, but he was charged with DUI, reckless driving, resisting an officer without violence. Bond was set at $1,500. Oh, my gosh. Gosh, like that's, I just can't believe that he actually went 35 miles on the rim. I mean, I guess I can. I mean, pretty much, you know, do anything, I guess. Let's see. A Florida driver was critically injured after slamming into a Palm Tran bus, a pedestrian, a traffic signal, restaurant, and a lot of things, hedges, and I don't know, all kind of stuff. It was a driver of a Dodge Challenger. Why did you do this to the Challenger? He's recovering in the hospital. He slammed into this bus, according to Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. It happened Tuesday of this week in the afternoon. The sheriff's spokesperson said that the driver was traveling at a high rate of speed, and it was making a left turn, and then the impact caused the driver to lose control of the vehicle. So he then hit a pedestrian, then he hit a traffic signal, then he hit a bunch of hedges, and then he careened into the parking lot of the Miami Subs Grill, where he hit a flagpole, hit the restaurant, and then came to rest on the roof of the restaurant. Yeah. Sounds like a Wile E. Coyote scene. And then he was taken to the hospital. He had critical injuries. Rescue crews transported the driver of the bus and one occupant to the hospital. They had minor injuries. Oh, my gosh. Like, that's... And a Florida man kept stealing lobsters from a Miami brewery, sometimes without a shirt. I'll save that one for you on Monday. We got more on the way. Another hour coming up. Stick with us.
I'm here today to announce the appointment of David Weiss as a special counsel, consistent with the Department of Justice regulations governing such matters.
So the news came out today that the special counsel has been selected. They announced who that was. That was Merrick Garland with the Department of Justice. And bizarrely, it's David Weiss, the same attorney that created and offered the whole blanket immunity deal to Hunter Biden. The same attorney who also tried to trick the judge in that case of accepting it and not asking questions. The same judge who allowed two felony charges to expire for Hunter Biden. That guy, David Weiss. Interesting. Welcome back. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. And you can always... you can listen to the show terrestrially, the nationally syndicated radio program. You can check it out, stream it, online. You can also watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, my friend Andy McCarthy is going to join us real quick to just because I've got questions like how I don't. Two of the questions I have are one, I don't understand what changed from the back and forth of he didn't have enough power to do any of this to he had power to do it. Oh, no. Well, now it's all I'm that whole back and forth is confusing. And also, there are a lot of legal minds that are saying that there may not be a constitutional basis or it may not be constitutionally supported or legally supported to have this, to have Weiss as the special counsel here. So I think we need McCarthy. I know what I know and I know what I don't. If I don't know it, I want to get you somebody who does. And so McCarthy's going to shed some light on this for us. But that has been the latest. And then we also had, and I'm pulling this up, I have a million things open. We also have the story there. I guess they're trying to get two of the charges. I guess they're trying to get two of the charges dismissed. Is that what it is? They filed. I'm pulling this piece up. So this is the federal prosecutors were moving to dismiss the tax charges so they can file them in another venue. So why? Why do they want to file them in another venue? I mean, why? I'm curious. What changed with him? I am made of questions.
Yeah, me too.
So this is all stuff that we're gonna discuss with Andy McCarthy. Also, too, I hope you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, because there's a lot of good stuff up there, including one of the other things that we've been watching, and we're going to be coming back to this with the special prosecutor. We've been talking about it all throughout the program since it just broke as we were going to air. But while we're having this happen, while all this is going down, there's this other piece where they're going, there's this ProPublica, which is a far left, lefty funded entity. They're going after Clarence Thomas again. And so this is why I'm just blown away. They're going after him, trying to say somehow that he is compromised or something because he, one of his rich friends let him use his property when he goes on vacation. Except, you know, as the story has come out, they've let a lot of people there use his golf course, like use their property to go on vacation, even Michael Bloomberg. Apparently, the report is that, you know, this individual who's friends to many liked being able to give his friends a little slice of heaven. That's apparently the revelation there. And they have an association where Justice Thomas met some of these individuals, and it's the Horatio Alger Association, and it's dedicated to the simple but powerful belief that hard work, honesty, and determination can conquer all obstacles. And they give memberships, lifetime memberships, to people, to outstanding leaders who've accomplished remarkable successes in spite of adversity. So ProPublica is mad because what? They have literally no argument here. I feel like anything that they can drum up, anything to take any kind of attention off of Hunter Biden. If they're worried about this, then where's Hunter? Because there's no conflict of interest here. There's no legal case that any of these individuals that Clarence Thomas is friends with or in any way exercised undue influence or anything like that. They're trying to say, oh, well, he was friends with these men. That's unethical. But they even admit that they can't. I mean, they say in their piece, as noted by Lorraine, who's got this piece up at Chapter and Verse, quote, ProPublica has not identified any legal cases that these individuals, Huizenga, Sokol, or Novelli, had at the Supreme Court during their documented relationships with Thomas. Oh, but they work in industries impacted by the court's decisions. Yeah, everybody does. You morons. So they have nothing there. Nothing. But they still hate Clarence Thomas because Clarence Thomas is a very powerful advocate for freedom, and they're terrified of him. That's what this is about. But but you realize how silly this looks because at the same time they're doing this, then you have all of this stuff with Hunter Biden. I don't trust them to see. And he's not going to, and Clarence Thomas does not care about your rage mob. He didn't bend to it back in the, when was that, in the 90s. He's not going to do it now. He doesn't care about your rage mob tactics. But it makes me wonder if that David Weiss guy does. That's another question. Is it public pressure? Like, what did this? I'm just fascinated. We're going to get into all of that because, like I said, our friend Andy McCarthy is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. I also wanted to touch on this as well real quickly. It's just something to be aware of. So in Keller, Texas, it is a school in the DFW, which is the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And the ACLU is demanding that the U.S. Department of Education investigate Keller ISD and the Fort Worth Academy of Fine Arts for what they are alleging are Title IX civil rights violations. They dislike their policies about trans in bathrooms. The ACLU of Texas sham attorney said, quote, "It's deeply disappointing that these North Texas school boards have targeted their transgender, non-binary, intersex students who just want to feel like they belong, blah, blah, blah." And they said they've banned students from using facilities and from participating in the activities that align with who they are and subject them to harassment and bullying, end quote. No, the harassment and bullying comes by the way of ACLU going after these kids and forcing particularly minor girls to accept men in the most vulnerable physical spaces that they could be in, which are locker rooms and girls' bathrooms. I just want to know why the adults at ACLU are so hell-bent on endangering the safety and security of minor girls. Like, I think that's a legitimate question to ask. Are you, like, wanting to see them in danger? Are you wanting to see something untoward happen to them? Like the girl in the Virginia school who was raped by an older boy who identified as a girl conveniently so he could have access to the girl's bathroom and harass girls. Because after he raped that girl, then he, when he was quietly transferred to a different school, guess what? He sexually assaulted another female, another young minor female student in the bathroom. Is that what ACLU wants? Does the girl not have? Yeah, where are the girls' civil rights? No one talks about that. Where are the civil rights of the young girls who just want to be able to go to the bathroom without having a boy in the bathroom with them? What about the kids who just want to be able to participate in sports without having some whacked out adults with their attention seeking social climbing stunts try to exploit, you know, their athletics for political causes? And that's what this is. You don't play sports with that align with who you are. You play sports that align with what you do and what you are. That's how that works. I just feel like this is sexist. The irony of Title IX. This is what third wave feminism has done. It is actually they demanded that they need Title IX for equality. And you know, part of me, there's a mean little part of me that's like, shut up and take it, bitches. Honestly, you know why? Because Title IX. That was what feminists, they wanted equality with men. They wanted all of this other stuff. We need to make sure that we're catering to girls to an excessive level, more so than boys in schools and all this other stuff. You know, we need to do all of this. And then now the men have turned around and they've co-opted Title IX and applied it to men who identify as women. So there's a little bit of schadenfreude here, but caught in the middle are all of these young girls and young boys too, who don't want any part of this. They didn't want any part of this. So they filed this Title IX complaint. And so the parents there have been made aware. And they say, oh, the school board's actions have created a hostile environment. Oh, for the love. It's not discriminating against students. You're discriminating against the civil rights of students who don't want to have to deal with this stuff. I mean, it's just, this is asinine. It's where people go to the damn bathroom. You know, it's like the story that we had a couple of years ago of this one trans student who was given special accommodation, told that he could use the faculty bathrooms, but he wanted to use the female bathrooms, the girls' bathrooms. And it's like, it's where you literally take a deuce. You're trying to make everything a political stage. Just insane. At the expense of what? The security and safety of these girls, at the expense of their civil rights. I've said this a million times. If a man feels uncomfortable in the men's room because they want to dress as a woman, they're accommodated. But if the women feel uncomfortable with having a man in the women's room, they're told to shut up, suck it up. They're called bigots. They're called TERFs. They're threatened. And they're told to just get over it. I don't have any experience with the patriarchy. All of my experience has been with the matriarchy. The meanest people have been other women, particularly progressive women. It's always been other women. I have never had a problem with dudes like I've had with chicks. Whether it's like even like little piddly social climbing, you know, power jockeying stuff that I've witnessed between other women at workplaces and that, my gosh. And meanest to each other. And just some of the stuff that I have seen and the stuff that I have experienced, progressive women are the meanest. Progressive men, really, too, but they're just mean. All of my experience has been with a matriarchy. You got men walking around on eggshells nowadays. We have a lot more in store. As I said, we have my friend Andy McCarthy. He's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour because we've got some questions about this and to have some clarity on this as we go into the weekend and what we can expect from this special counsel. You know, if you want to, I say that sarcastically because I there's no impartiality to this guy. I don't believe it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this is from The Mirror, which is a British publication. This headline reads that terrified Peruvian villagers claim they are under attack from 7-foot-tall aliens dubbed face peelers. The terrified villagers say that the relentless attack by these 7-foot-tall aliens has prompted night patrols and pleas for military assistance. They said they're 7 feet tall. Their name translates to face peelers. And they say that it's located, it's in a remote district of Alto Nené, located northeast of Lima. And members of the Iquitu tribe, which hail from the San Antonio native community, have recounted chilling encounters with these extraterrestrial beings. I'm not saying it's aliens, but I'm saying it's aliens. Just saying. Dude, that's creepy. Solar flares have knocked out radio across the U.S., and it won't be the last. You know, the solar flares and also help contribute to increasing the temperature, I'm just going to say. This is solar activity. It's cyclical. So this just from this week, the sun says that the sun has been very active lately. This is Metro sending out scorching flares, frying communication systems back on Earth. The latest one was recorded Monday. An X-class solar flare disrupted radio navigation signals across North America. They're the largest, most disruptive of the flares. And this one was classified as whatever this means, X1.5. And they said it likely disrupted high-frequency radio communications on the sunlit side of the Earth. So, and you can, it's actually visible, they say, the active sunspot group currently visible on the sun's disk. Interesting. Oh boy, this is wild. An astronomer claims that there's direct evidence of gravity breaking down. What? Says it's, he says that he's, you know, his results have not matched what he studied previous or have not matched anything out there. Let me pull this up. He says that it's a gravitational anomaly in certain star systems that could upend fundamental assumptions about the universe. It's the anomaly arises when loosely orbiting stars known as wide binaries seem to move in ways that defy established models of gravity, all based on Newton and Einstein's ideas. He says the mind-bending discovery hints at a possible alternate theory of physics that does not depend on the existence of weird, like unidentified phenomena like dark matter to explain the phenomena that we see in space. Gravity is one of the most familiar forces we experience daily, but it's the toughest to explain. And they said in the standard model of cosmology, a well-tested theoretical framework, it's governed by Newtonian laws, Einstein's general relativity. But they say the standard model is a robust theory, but there's some stuff that deviates from this gravitational playbook. And they have this one at Sejong University. They say that they have evidence of it. So very interesting. It's a, that's creepy. This and the 7-foot-tall aliens. Okay. No, that's just weird. Let's see. Disney created a task force to explore AI and cut costs. I bet AI would come up with anything probably more palatable than anything that Disney's coming up with lately. All right. So up next, our friend Andy McCarthy is going to break down what this means. Why? What changed with David Weiss? Is Joe Biden going to be subject to this special counsel purview? I'm curious. He'll answer these questions next.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
I'm here today to announce the appointment of David Weiss as a special counsel, consistent with the Department of Justice regulations governing such matters.
Big news coming out this Friday. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this third hour, Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast terrestrially. You can stream it. You can also watch the simulcast of the radio program. That was Attorney General Merrick Garland announcing that U.S. Attorney David Weiss is the special counsel so he can continue this investigation into Hunter Biden and not have the regular DOJ oversight. And as we've been discussing, we have a million questions because what really this guy, the guy who is accused of slow walking everything and who was behind the sweetheart deal for all of this, our very good friend who's always so generous with his time, Andy McCarthy, best-selling author, contributing editor at National Review and Fox News contributor, former chief assistant U.S. attorney. His book, Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency, should be textbook for colleges and universities. He joins us now on the phone. Andy, always such a pleasure. I just got to get your initial reaction to this, because this is the guy that tried to trick the judge.
Yeah, it's a sham. The whole thing is a sham. It's a sham that there's been a special counsel appointment, and it's a sham that there's a Biden investigation. Neither thing is true.
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating. For example, Dana, he purports to be appointing Smith under the Justice Department's special counsel regulations. He talked about the special counsel, Garland did. Mm-hmm. He talked about the special counsel regulations in the appointment, in that press statement that he gave. Section 600.3 defines the qualifications of the special counsel. Let me just read one quick sentence, very clear. The special counsel shall be selected from outside the United States government. The thing that makes a special counsel special is that you bring them in not only from outside the Justice Department, but outside the government. Because the whole idea is you need a special counsel only when there is such a profound conflict of interest in a matter that deserves investigation that the Justice Department can't ethically investigate it in the normal course. And there can't be a worse conflict of interest than the Justice Department, the President's Justice Department, trying to investigate the President's son for conduct in which the President is implicated, maybe an impeachable conduct for all we know based on what we're hearing. So this whole thing is a sham. He's not from outside the government. He is the Biden Justice Department. He's a high-ranking Biden Justice Department official. He was 5 minutes before he was appointed. Then Garland does this abracadabra thing. Nothing has changed. He's the same guy. And the reason I say that there's no investigation is no prosecutor who actually had an investigation going would give a plea deal in the middle of your ongoing investigation to one of the main subjects of the investigation. If you were investigating bribery to the tune of millions of dollars and potential money laundering and tax evasion and all that stuff from the bribery, why would you ever, in the middle of that supposedly continuing investigation, give a misdemeanor plea to two counts to the main subject or one of the main subjects of the investigation with a promise of seeking no jail time?
Right.
Why would you, if you were conducting an investigation in which you had a lot of evidence that foreign actors were paying millions of dollars in bribes to get favorable treatment and access to a high-ranking politician in America? That's what your investigation is showing. And you're also seeing in your investigation that they have this sophisticated labyrinthine bunch of channels for transferring the funds so that you can make the big payments look small and less noticeable. And you're obviously trying to hide where the source of the funds come from, right? So that's what your continuing investigation shows. But you not only give Hunter this plea, you stipulate with the defense lawyers to a statement of facts in connection with the plea, which says that the money that was coming in is explained by the fact that Hunter is a high-end lawyer who has a lot of well-to-do clients and does a lot of contract work and consulting work. And that says that the reason he doesn't pay his taxes is because he's drug-addled, even though not paying the taxes is completely consistent with the idea that you're trying to hide the money because you don't want anyone to know the source of the
exactly.
money. Exactly.
Right?
So no prosecutor who was conducting the Biden investigation, as we've seen the evidence of it from the House, would ever, in his right mind, either give Hunter the plea that was offered to him or stipulate to that statement of facts about what the underlying factual basis for the plea is.
This is just unbelievable. We're talking to our friend Andy McCarthy about all of this. You mentioned too, you touched on the legality of having someone who's not outside the government be special counsel. I mean, I don't know what kind of jurisdiction the House has here. I mean, it seems like this is just ultimately the DOJ's sole call. But is there any objection that can be raised with that by members of Congress or anyone else?
I'm so glad you asked that, because this is why this is all theater that they're trying to pull over on us, because they think we're stupid. The very last of the regulations for special counsels says that these regulations don't create any actionable rights in anybody to object to anything. So what the Justice Department does on the one hand is tell you that we have all these regulations that we follow with great scrupulousness to make sure that our investigations are credible. And then at the end, they say, oh, and by the way, if we don't follow the regulations, you can't do anything about it. It's a farce. It's complete. It's nonsense.
I keep looking at this go ahead, Andy.
I was just going to say every mainstream media outlet will say, isn't it great? He appointed a special counsel. What integrity he has. In the meantime, a special counsel he appointed is the same guy who was running the investigation in the first place. It's like, abracadabra, now you're a special counsel.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Bippity boppity boom. That easy to change it. Talking with our friend Andy McCarthy. Is there like a double-edged sword in here somewhere? Because now he has this, which was weird because he always said publicly, that, you know, he didn't, that he had the authority to bring charges, but then privately he was apparently saying, according to the whistleblowers, that he didn't have authority to bring charges. If he has, you know, now this, this authority to run this, does this mean that Joe Biden could be drug into this now? Could he be part of all of this as well? Could he be subject to this special counsel investigation?
If there was a real investigation, sure. There's not a real investigation. No, well, what you've just pointed to is some more theater. It happens very often in the Justice Department that U.S. attorneys from different jurisdictions disagree about how a case should be handled. So Weiss said, he's not telling the truth about this, but he said that he wanted to bring felony charges. At least he led the agents to believe he wanted to bring felony charges in Washington, D.C. or Central District of California, which is Los Angeles, the two places that had venue over them and where they could be properly brought. Then what he led them to believe is he was being stopped by the U.S. attorneys in those districts, and without their permission, he couldn't bring charges. Does anybody think the attorney general is like an innocent bystander, like he has nothing to do here? The U.S. attorneys work for Garland. So if Garland wanted the charges to be filed, the U.S. attorney in Los Angeles and Washington would be told to work with Weiss to file the charges. A U.S. attorney can't stop another U.S. attorney from filing charges that the Justice Department or the Attorney General wants charged. What happens in these situations, which come up all the time, is you go to main justice and argue it out, and then the Attorney General makes a decision about what happens. So this idea that, you know, he's being blocked by U.S. attorneys in other districts was complete nonsense. It's just, you know, they think we're stupid and we don't know how things work.
Right.
And so far, the way it's been covered, I guess they get away with it.
You mentioned venue, talking with our friend Andy McCarthy, author of Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election, Destroy a Presidency. You mentioned the venue. Now, I was reading that the federal prosecutors had moved to dismiss the tax charges in this case so they can be filed in another venue. Explain that to us. What's the strategy with that?
Well, first of all, the more important thing that they don't say is they've never indicted this case. There's no indictment in this case. So Hunter's crimes, to the extent we're talking about tax and gun crimes, have been well known for years, right? But what Weiss has been doing is strategically making the case go away. So, for example, the 2014 and 2015 years, where we saw from the House report much of this $20 million comes from, that's the time frame of Burisma, that's the time frame of a lot of these other big payments. The statute of limitations has run on those. Weiss let it run. Hunter Biden's lawyers, in the interest of trying to get a global settlement that would give him a complete immunity bath from everything that happened from 2013 going forward, told Weiss that they were willing to waive the statute of limitations to get the sweetheart deal that they wanted. It was Weiss who decided to not take that deal, just let the statute of limitations run. So what stops the statute of limitations from running is filing an indictment. Once the charges are filed, then the clock stops, and then you go forward from there. Every day he doesn't indict, more counts are being lost. The statute of limitations for tax is 6 years. For everything else, it's 5 years. We're now in 2023. Most of this conduct happened up until about 2019. So every day he drags his feet, he's already killed everything, probably from the time that Biden was, during the period of time when Biden was vice president, which ended, January 2017, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. He's got almost no case left on that stuff. Wow. Because it's gone, the statute's run.
And I think you told us too that the gun charge, that statute of limitation, that's up in October, I believe.
Right. Yep.
Wow. And so that's, you know, that's ultimately the goal here.
Yeah, and you know, the only thing that's filed, this business about like they're dropping those charges and filing in another venue. Oh, good. You know, those charges, those are the two misdemeanor tax charges in the sweetheart plea. Which, you know, first of all, they're a fraction of what Hunter has done.
Right.
They were filed to shield him from more serious felony charges. They had made an agreement to seek a non-jail sentence. I mean, imagine you're continuing investigation into millions of dollars of bribery, and you're giving them this plea in the middle of your investigation. That was, you know, that was a farce. They hoped that they were going to get away with it, and the judge asked them, you know, some basic questions, and they couldn't answer them, so it blew up. Mm. But once they withdraw that, that means there's no indictment anywhere. So all that's happening is the clock continues to tick, 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 and the case continues to disappear. And the other thing, Dana, just to like where this all ends up in the end, why make him a special counsel? Because the one thing that makes a special counsel importantly different from any other prosecutor in the federal government is a special counsel gets to write a report. So Weiss's job is on the front end, erode as much of the Hunter Biden case as you can get away with, so there's virtually nothing left of it to charge. And then on the other end, sometime next year, he'll write a report that says President Biden had nothing to do with it.
And he'll never have to pardon his son. Oh, wow. Wow. This is like the Law and Order episode of all episodes. Golly. So that's where, and this is going to go away for him. Last thing on it, this is going to go away for him. I don't see anything coming of this.
Yeah, you know, look, they may feel like they have to, for political reasons, try to run another misdemeanor plea. I think this time, maybe what they'll do is, you know, get Hunter to waive venue and in Delaware and let him plead to something where they know they can get it in front of, you know, plead it in some jurisdiction,
right,
where they think they can get it in front of a judge who's not going to give them any jail time, give them a misdemeanor or two, and, you know, then beat their chest about how bravely they prosecuted the president's son.
Oh my gosh. All for the optic of it. I mean, this is that double, that additional standard of justice, the two-tier standards of justice. Andy McCarthy, our good friend, we so appreciate you giving us some of your time on, I know what is a crazy day for you. I've seen you everywhere. Folks, you can get his book, Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election, Destroy a Presidency. You can read him online, watch him on TV. Andy, appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much and have a wonderful weekend. If you can, I know you're going to be busy.
You too, Dana. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Make sure you check out the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, as well as find us on YouTube and Facebook, because we have a lot of really good stuff up there as well. And we'll have that interview up with Andy McCarthy, because that's, golly, I mean, two tiers of justice, man. I mean, how else do you put it? Two tiers of justice. So, yeah, the special counsel that's prosecuting Hunter is the same attorney that gave him the sweetheart deal.
Still no indictment.
Yeah, no indictments. So that clock for the statute of limitations is just going to tick, 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 tick. And then February is going to come. Or no, sorry, October is going to come. And then what? That's when the felony charge for the fraudulent 4473 will expire. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
You or I would go to jail for that.
Oh, we'd be in jail already if we had done something like that. Oh my gosh, we'd totally be. We'd be in the pokey, man. We'd be in the big house. That's how that would be. Good grief. But hey, you know, it's D different, and their last name is Biden. We should all just change our names to Biden. Just because then you could just do whatever you want, right?
Right.
You know, like you could sell your stuff online and not have to worry about the IRS looking at what you did. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
And he wouldn't recognize any of my kids as his grandkids, so that'd be good.
Oh.
All right. This is like his own. For today, Al Not-So-Sharpton, he's out there saying the GOP is playing on Biden's health because Biden is constantly out there fighting the teleprompter. Listen to what Al Sharpton says here.
Clearly, they're playing on the president's health, which is shown to be totally crazy because he clearly is doing his job. Look at what he's done to the economy. Look at what he's done.
Let's look at what he's done to the economy. 16.6% on average increase in prices across the board. And still, we're at 3.2% inflation. Went up 0.2% just a few days ago. So thanks for that, Al. Not-So-Sharpton.
Yeah, there you go. He's not the brightest bulb, is he? No, he's not. All right, folks, that does it for us this week. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be back together on Monday. God bless.